It took a long time, but we finally got Jimmy on the call.
You know, do you know
would you like to vent about your technology problems?
Do you know computer technology like advances straight under your feet without you even noticing? So this is not even this is going to sound like a joke. This is not even a lie. I went to sign on this morning and it said, "Oh, you can't run Riverside on this browser. It's out of date." So I was like, "Oh, okay. So let me download the browser." The whole time it's downloading with a red slash through it. I'm like, "That must be the new graphic. Chrome must just have a new graphic with a red slash through it." As it downloads, there's a red slash through it. And then I go to open it, and in the applications next to the old version of Chrome, which it said, "Do you want to keep both?" I was like, "Yeah, why not?" The old one is lit up, and the new one still has a red slash through it. I'm like, "That's an interesting icon." Anyway, so I click on it. It's like, "Oh, your OS is out of date." And it says, and of course I don't read anything, so I looked at it. It says, "Your OS is like 8.6.2.3. You need 13 or higher to run this." And so I'm making up that first number, but I know it's lower than 13. And
it was 10.15.3. Just
there you go. And I thought it said that's what you need. And so then I click on my computer, and it says exactly what that number is. I'm like, why doesn't this work? That's why I sent you guys both pictures of it. I'm like, it's what I need, and it's what I have. But what it says is, this is what you have. It's not what you need. And then I go open up the About This Mac, and it tells me what I have, which is what I thought I needed. And I'm like, where doesn't it work? So I restart my computer, which takes 15 minutes and like a steam engine to start my computer again. And the whole time the computer's like going, oh, really? Do you really want me to start again? That's what it does. Every time I hit restart, it goes, really? You sure about that? That's what it does. It goes, you sure about that? And I'm like, I'm sure about that. And it restarts, and then smoke and steam comes out of the sides of my computer, and it finally restarts. And that's when I realized I made the mistake that the numbers are both the same, that are both under what I need. And because I finally read what I texted you guys. And then I was like, okay, let me just upload the new OS system, which I knew was going to be like a full tank of gas. And I only have room for like an eighth of a tank of gas. And I go and it's like, yeah, it's like, don't even think about it. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, we've been telling you this for years. You have no room on your computer. Don't you listen? That's what my computer said to me. And I go to the computer that's sitting here in this weird section of my house because I never use this computer. And I was able to try and download. Oh, I left out the whole me trying to download the app on the phone, which for some reason I joined Riverside. I got in. I, you know, joined with this, joined with that. I joined with everything. Nothing works. And finally, somehow it worked. And I joined, and then it just keeps giving me the 404. That's why I take the link, and then the app tells me, no, go, goodbye, Charlie. And then I come to this computer, and after several attempts at, like, we get together at 9, at 9:35, it worked.
So I have a legitimate question, and this is not me making fun of you. Okay, this is me concerned about your technology future. Yeah, you said this morning, I'm going to go buy a new computer today, which I don't doubt. You probably
I will. I'm going to buy it as soon as we get up.
You have this, the first one you were on, was the hard drive is full enough that it won't let you update the OS.
Yeah.
That's a solvable problem without buying the computer. But but if you buy a new computer, how are you going to transition from the old one to the new one? Because the old one has enough stuff on it that it's full. It can't be up. I mean, are you just going to like leave that behind and just start using a new one? Or are you going to
What I'm going to do is I'm going to get another desk and just turn 90 degrees to my left and have a whole new setup there.
Okay. So computers are like hard drives. Like you just archive that computer.
Oh, yeah.
And
you just get a new computer.
I used to have, and it's in my old shop somewhere on one of the shelves. This is a long story, but I had one of my friends who probably listens, I don't want to say his name, come and extract all the information on this library of hard drives I had. I had like 7 MacBooks on a shelf, and they were just like library books. And he took them, put them all on this big giant hard drive. And then one day I came in here, and my ex-girlfriend was like fiddling around with her computer. And she's like, "You didn't need this hard drive, did you?" I'm like, "What is it?" She goes, "Oh, I just erased it and put all my stuff on it." I'm like, "Cool, thanks." That's what my friend was spending. That was when my friend came in for a week to unload everything. And I was just like, at that point, I realized like, there's no use in getting mad. I'm like, whatever. She said, "Oh, I just found this hard drive. I thought it was available." I'm like, well, it wasn't, but now I guess it is. So,
wow.
Oh, my gosh.
And so those 7 laptops, just in case the hard drive fails, are still sitting on. But it's all old information. It's like short movies and stuff I was making before I was on YouTube and an old TV show pitches are the only important things on those computers. And anyway, I'll never, ever get them off, which is fine. But I save them anyway. And same with this one. The only pertinent information is my graphics file that's on the computer. For some reason, it is completely jam-packed with stuff. And every time I go to that little metering thing that says, like, the biggest stuff, it's usually bad downloads from emails and messages, so I throw them all away. Someone sends me a movie or a preview of something they're doing. And so I delete all those. And then it's like, you have enough room to listen to a song. So I was like, okay, that's enough. And so I go and I work and I make edits on that for the next few months until, you know, I get a couple of emails with big files in them, and then I go back in and delete them. So I keep making that little tiny, I'm like, my computer, if you can imagine this, I'm like a guy in a flipped over ship that's like breathing in like an eighth inch pocket of air. But I'm looking directly at the bottom of the ship, and I only have like the only light bulb that didn't burn out when the boat flipped over. That's how my computer works. That little pocket of air is like the end of my hard drive space. Yeah,
I mean, so
I think today I need a new boat that's upright.
You need a new boat.
Like, I want to help you with that. That whole scenario. Because it doesn't have to be like that.
I don't understand why my computer is so full of stuff. Literally, that gray line, it's like a bunch of little colors that are like this far apart. I'm holding my fingers about a quarter inch apart. And then there's a gray line that's like 10 inches long. And then there's like a tiny sliver of like breathable airspace at the very end. And that gray thing is, I don't know what all that gray stuff is.
I mean, it should be labeled. But yes, I know it's like one label for tens
everything
of
that's
of
jamming up my computer. And I also have the Jack in the Box. What is it called?
What?
That's all I think of every time I see the logo. It's like a box with like the flaps flipped open. What is that app
called? Dropbox.
Dropbox.
Dropbox. I have Jack in the Box.
I like that.
And everything is on Jack in the Box with the, you know, on the air cloud only, which is, that always jams me up. It's like cloud only, cloud only, cloud only. And then I see the one thing that's not cloud only. I make it think it gives it a green dot next to it. And then I click cloud only and it takes 20 minutes. And then all of a sudden I have another 15 minutes of air to breathe. So then I edit for a week and then it runs out of the airspace again. So yeah, that's me. I'm living in an air capsule in the bottom of the Titanic.
These little, I edit directly on my computer, but I have edited on these little Samsung S5 or T5, T7 drives, and there is no slowdown. There's no difference at all. And these guys have gotten pretty reliable. Yeah.
No, well, I still use the Lassies. I don't have too much of a slowdown. It's just my computer itself. Like if I'm running Illustrator and Photoshop at the same time, it's like, really? Sure about that?
You mentioned
that guy pops up on my computer. He's like, you sure you want to run both those applications at the same time?
You mentioned restarting, and you're like, are you sure about that? one of the things that I do to just pass time is like draw things in Illustrator. Like I'll be working on a pattern or a thing that maybe I want to turn into some piece of art someday, but never do. So I'll have these Illustrator files open and I don't save them because I'm like, it's not worthy of saving yet. It has to get past a certain threshold before I actually want to take up computer space and commit to it. But then when I go to I have to restart, I have to make like five decisions. Do I want to save this? Or do I want to give it up? And same with like music. Like I'll be working on a beat or a loop. And so many times I'm like, nope, it didn't pass that threshold. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Interesting. So let me ask you how you guys do this. Do you save, like in the case of music and visual art, do you save those in two distinct places? Like all of the music projects are here.
Yes.
And then all of the art things are here. What about... I do that as well. What about if you instead had a like a pending file thing?
That's kind of my desktop.
Oh, okay. So those things that you don't know if you want to actually keep or whatever, you could save them to like a pin, and then occasionally that way you could restart anytime you wanted to without decision making. And then anytime you go through that pin, you're like, I'm going to spend the afternoon going through all these things and decide what to delete and what to move over to actual work.
I will use my desktop as kind of that like little escrow holding period to see if I actually want to move it into its proper folder. But still, there's some sort of little barrier in my brain that makes me not want to hit save just yet. Because it needs to go a little further.
Well, okay.
I have a folder on my computer, which is the home. It has a little icon of the house next to it. And everything just gets dumped in there.
I knew you were going to say that.
Everything is in there. So it's all in time. So if somebody calls me and they go, oh, we got to get back to the Johnny Walker cart. And I'll go, this is my filing system. I go to YouTube and I go, when did I make the Johnny Walker cart? I posted the video May 10th. And then I go back to my Jimmy folder and I go to like the month of May. And I see all the information about the Johnny Walker cart. And I go, oh, that's when I made the Johnny Walker cart. So let's revisit those graphics. And so that's where I know they are.
So there's a feature, a new feature. It's new that I wanted to tell you about in the Mac OS, at least. And if you go to any window and you go to the Finder and you go to the top right corner, there's a little circle with a line coming out of it. And so if you click on that and type in the name or a word or a date or anything associated with the file you're looking for, it will show you results. This was added pretty recently in like 1992 or something like that.
Well, I'm gonna push back a little
Sorry,
bit.
Was there a long was wind a time. Up.
There was a time. That's very funny. There was a time when I would go, if I'm in a folder, I'm in a window, right, and it's really deep, full of stuff, and I got to find the Johnny Walker folder. I would type in J-O-H and whoop. It would say Johnny Walker, Johnny DiResta, you know, four things. And it would give me like four choices. And usually exactly what I was looking for is right there. Now I type in Johnny, and all of a sudden there's 60,000 things to look through. Anything that starts with a J that was in an email. Everything that's on the internet that starts with a J. It doesn't just isolate to that window. It used to, if I knew everything that I needed was in that window, I'd type in that window.
You can change
now
that.
Now my way of finding stuff is if I'm in that window, I'll just type in J-O, and it brings me to everything that's named J-O. Without even, like, if the window's highlighted, boop, boop, I just do that, and that's somebody taught me that trick. So I don't pipe in the bubble anymore. I don't use the bubble search anymore, because instead it gives me 3 results, it gives me 30,000 results. And what I need is usually never even in the window, or if I scroll for 10 minutes, it never shows up in the window.
So in the Finder...
That makes sense? Like, why is that?
In the Finder settings, if you're on your Finder and you click on Settings and you go to Advanced, it says when performing a search, you have a choice of search this Mac or search this current folder. Is that your...
Where is that? I'm in Finder.
Okay.
Finder Preferences, Advanced. Show all file name extensions.
All the way at the bottom. When performing a search...
Search current folder! I just changed it.
There you go. All good.
You guys should be IT guys.
We were.
And
anyway,
there's one more thing when search, because Adobe installs so much crap on your computer. Yes. And if you do a search for your whole computer, all these stupid Adobe files come up, these little JavaScript files or whatever. You can, in your spotlight settings, you can say, do not search these particular folders when doing a search.
Mm.
Yeah. And that helps with that stuff.
Yeah. Move. You guys should say that thing.
Move. Yes. okay, let's hit record.
All right, cool. Lesson. Sounds good. We're 13 minutes in now. All right, you guys ready to get started?
What have I been working on? I've been working on my Mac.
Before this morning, what have you been working on?
What have I been working on? So I went to the Graphics Pro Expo in North Carolina with Graz and Derek. We had a lot of fun. We hung out with the people at Aeon Laser, who's a wonderful, wonderful group of people. It's a really, really great family. And I'm not just saying that because I'm working with them, but a really great group of people. They're always up for fun. And we spent, we had some bonding experience with them. We went out bowling and we had a good time with them. And they making a new thing called the Redline series, which I don't have mine yet. It's in the United States. It just landed from China. They make most of the parts in America. So when it comes, they assemble it. So the parts from China came. Anyway, long story short, it's here, and I'm going to get it in about a week and a half. It's getting shipped here. I'm getting the Nova Redline 14, I think, which is a big one. It's like 52 inches by like 36 inches. And I'm going to still be able to cut all my leather and stuff on. I'm really excited to play with the new machine. There's a lot of innovations on it, so I'm going to be experimenting with that. But while I was on this trip, don't get mad at me, everybody. They have this insane laser cutter that cuts metal. It's like the size of a truck.
bought an expensive thing.
I didn't buy it.
Oh. Somebody's giving you an expensive thing.
Maybe. They said that she's not. She goes, "Do you want one of those?" I'm like,
What?
What? Huh? Are you kidding? She's like, "No, no, we want to promote this." I'm like, "Yeah, I'll take one." So that might be coming. I'm going to push and find out exactly, you know, what.
So what now it's made by Aeon or made by somebody else?
Made by Aeon. Yeah, their parent company, the EMP. I'll show you guys a picture of this thing. So it cuts up to 3/8 of an inch of metal.
Oh,
that's like bigger than a person.
That's it. Yeah, look at that.
It's
that's crazy.
Yeah, I got to rearrange my whole shop if it comes in. It looks like something that would be in a factory in China.
Yeah, you could sleep inside it with three other people.
Yes.
That's crazy.
The laser is a 3 kilowatt laser, so it's very powerful, so it has to be enclosed so you don't blind anybody.
How many gigawatts?
3 gigawatts. Takes 440 volts. Industrial power. No, it doesn't take that much. I'm kidding. But that's exciting. That was like the most exciting thing to come out of this trip is like she casually goes, "You want one?" So I'm like, "Yeah." Trying to contain my excitement. So I go, "Yeah, that's cool."
You're like, "I don't know. Maybe I can find room."
It's like when the hot girl at school asks you out, you're like, "Yeah, I guess I got time." Yeah, cool. So that's very exciting. So I came back and I'm involved with Neil Pask in a scrapwood challenge. So I had to get right into business as soon as I got back, and I'm turning a pallet into a chair. And I was really, you know, when you rack your brain, you're like, I'm going to make the most incredible, exciting thing out of a pallet that no one's ever made before. Mm-hmm. But then I bring it in a little bit and I'm like, what do I need to learn how to make? And I think to myself, just to make a simple chair is complicated. It is not that easy.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Let me challenge myself to make a chair out of a pallet. This way I'm taking scrap wood, I'm turning it into something that's worth something. I need the chair, I'll put it in my new studio. And I'll be able to say I made that out of a pallet. So I'm showing you guys a picture of a chair. Just a simple, classic looking schoolhouse chair made out of wood. I made something vaguely similar when I made one with a leather seat. And so I'm gonna do this. So this is a part of my video. I'm showing you guys. It's just a drawing of a pallet to a chair. So that's what I'm working on this week. And that's going to be out. Neil Pask and I are doing this scrapwood challenge. And we're going to do some live streams to accompany it. And I don't know. That's all going to be announced on social media. But this video might be out this weekend or next. I'm not sure. We're still trying to hammer out the schedule. So I'm working on that. That's exciting. And then I got to start working on a sign. Anybody going to CES, Consumer Electronics Show?
Nope.
I'm going to be going to CES with Eaton Electric, and I'm going to be making them a sign. So next week, I'm making a sign for their Eaton Electric booth at CES, and I'm going to go. So I'm doing that, and I'm prepping for this big laser CNC sign that I'm working on. Light up, blah-de-blah, blah-blah-blah. So yeah, that's me. And I'm going to get a new computer. Did I talk about that yet? Did I tell you guys I'm having computer problems?
Yeah, you might.
Aww.
Cool.
Yeah. That's my dealio.
I have one of the Pask makes. It's not a knife, a marking knife.
Uh huh.
It is absolutely beautiful and well made. So
he makes really beautiful stuff.
He makes some good stuff. Yeah. This week I'm making a cabinet. We went to IKEA maybe a year and a half ago, and I got a cabinet there that I turned into a different cabinet. But while there, I picked up these little $3 bins, and I'm like, one day I'm gonna turn these bins into a cabinet. And they've been sitting in my shop for a long time. And then this week I decided to actually make a cabinet to hold these bins. For some reason, I just don't enjoy making drawers. So taking something else and using it as a drawer is pretty satisfying to me. And so that's what we're making this week. It went together really quick. And it looks more complicated. It's one of those projects that looks more complicated than what it actually is. And yeah, that's about all I can say about that. I don't want to tease it too much, but I'm very happy with how fast and how beautiful it came out.
Mm. Nice.
Mm. Yeah.
What? You're right there, but
frustrated about everything.
Oh, okay.
I feel it.
Just think about your giant laser that you can take naps in.
It's going to be like, your computer will not run this laser. It is out of date.
You're probably going to have to get a Windows machine for that one.
No, it's attached to it. It comes with it.
Oh, wow. Is it on wheels? Maybe you should put it on wheels. No. You should make it so that you can drive it around. It
comes with its own extended forklift.
Let's see. So for me, video that's coming out this weekend, if we can finish it, is I made a paper roller. It's not a machine mechanism thing. It's kind of a machine, I guess. But I sell these printed templates and for arcade cabinets. We sell digital plans, and then we sell printed templates that people can use to cut out the sides of the arcade cabinets and the parts and stuff. And so they're on this 36-inch wide printer I have, but some of the pieces of paper are like 7-8 feet long because it's an entire side of a panel plus instructions and all this stuff. So three or four pieces of this long paper, I've got to print these out, roll them up, and put them in cardboard tubes to ship them to people. And we've been doing this for a couple of years now, and it's always been a pain to like roll up a bunch of pieces of paper and get them to roll tightly enough, but also the ends, you know, in enough to be able to fit in this tube that there is no extra room in. You can't buy tubes that are like an inch longer without them being 2 or 3 inches bigger in diameter.
Yeah.
So anyway.
You gotta go digging up.
Yeah. So I made this little kind of machine thing, which a bunch of 3D printed pieces and rubber bands and dowel rods and this, so I can feed these papers in and roll them up really tight, and it keeps them nice and tight. And you slide it off, and you slide it in the tube, and it's good to go. And it like works way better than I expected it to work. And it was pretty cool because I sell these a couple times a week. Usually, there's, you know, a couple here and there. And I was working on this thing, and while I was working on it, somebody ordered two sets, like two different arcade cabinets at the same time. So it's like 6 or 7 pieces of paper, really long. And so in the video, I was like, hey, this person, Jesse, just ordered these, and so I'm going to print them out, and I'm going to test this thing out with them. And I was able to roll up this ridiculous amount of paper perfectly and ship it off to Jesse in New York.
Nice.
It was cool timing. But yeah, I've been working on that, and it was fun to like do a little. It was pretty simple, but you know, there's some like little detail stuff to figure out to make it work well and easy to use and easy to load and unload and all that type of stuff. So
problem solver projects always just feel so good.
They really do. Yeah, I love having that stuff. Like something that's been irritating, not super problematic, but just irritating for a long time, and then all of a sudden you make something and it's not irritating anymore forever.
Yeah, forever.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what I've been up to. And then, you know, just trying to enjoy this weather, trying to be outside as much as I can because it's super nice here. I don't know what the temperatures are like with you guys, but it's like highs 50s. In the low 60s right now, and 50s. It's just perfect weather, so trying to take advantage of that. We had a little topic that we were chatting about after you finally got on the call, and we can leave out the specific conversation that started that, but David, you brought up kind of a different way to look at it, and I think this is probably, it's something I've been thinking about a lot lately.
Is it worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the simplest way to put it. Is it worth it?
Okay. Is it worth, give us some context. Give everybody context as to what we're thinking about.
I think there's so many opportunities to do things, to do fun things, or to make money, or to expand your business.
Go places.
Mm. And you get excited. I get excited about these opportunities to do these things. And then you realize this takes up time and resources. I only have so much time and resource. And so, like you were saying, Bob, I think about this a little bit more of like, what do I act? Is this how I want to make my money? Is this how I want to spend my time? You know,
about that?
Are you sure about that? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like this opportunities that are afforded to us. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the business I'm in. I'm grateful that this worked out for as long as it has. But when you look at a smorgasbord full of table, a table full of this and that and everything, you can like run to the table and eat everything. But can you eat everything? Is it worth eating everything? So every time someone sends us an email, do you want this? Can you use this? Do you want to do this? This opportunity, that opportunity. You really got to go through them and decide where the time and energy is. Somebody who's the host of a TV show who I've worked with, who's successful, I don't want to say his name because he told me in private, he says he doesn't go anywhere unless there's a paycheck at the end of it. He goes, I do not get on a plane. He goes, I have kids. I have a family. I have limited time. I'm not going anywhere unless there's a paycheck for it at the other end. He goes, that's just the way it is. He goes, I appreciate when people offer me to do stuff for charity and this, that, and the other thing, because I do charity my own way. He goes, but to go to an event, he goes, I can't take precious time away from my family and my kids unless there's a paycheck at the other end. And I really try and remember that when people ask me to go here, ask me to go there, ask me to go here, ask me to go there. And then I think, is it really worth it? And not to mention the amount of time away from the shop. That's really the most precious time. Time is the only thing you can't get back. Right? Is that what they say all the time? So you really have to make that decision. If you're going to give time, is it worth the exchange? And that being said, going places is one thing, but also the jobs that are offered. You want to do this job, we only have this much money. I'm like, it's a great project and it's a great opportunity for me to learn, but I just can't do it for free. I can't do it for that much money. And what always helps me, especially when somebody doesn't understand that I need to get paid considerably more, is I say, you remember this thing I did? They're like, yeah. I go, I got paid X. Whoa. I'm like, yeah. Remember this thing I did? Oh, yeah, yeah. That was great. I go, I got paid X. They go, whoa. So, like, you want to play in my arena, this is what it's going to cost. That being said, I do stuff for free all the time because it's fun and exciting. So I have to stop doing as much stuff as I do for free and for cheap just because it's cool and exciting. I really have to be careful.
Do you feel?
I mean, it's kind of one of my mantras toward the end of the ship. Go ahead, Dave.
Do you feel the guilt when you say no? Because I do.
No, I'm over it. It all depends on what it's for. You know, if it's for a little kid, like I'll do a cameo for a little kid, basically for free. If anybody wants me to send a video to a kid, I do that for free because I know how exciting that would be for a little kid to get. You know, they think I'm some big TV guy on Netflix, whatever. I do that all the time, so I'll never say no to that. But when it comes to doing big jobs, if it's just not worth my time, I say no. Or if logistics, like going to Long Island, it's like the most horrible place in the whole entire world. It's Long Island.
No offense.
Like, please don't make me go to Long Island. I was born there. I could say whatever I want. I have friends from Long Island. No, I hate that place. I can't stand it.
Okay.
It is just, that's a place where, there's other ways of saying it, which I'll try and keep a PG, but that is a sock that holds 5 pounds worth of stuff that has 600 pounds worth of stuff in it, that Long Island. You can't go 2 miles, like my mother, where I grew up, my mother's home to where my father's house is 7 miles. How much does it take to go 7 miles? 8 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe, 20 minutes. To leave my mother's house to go to my father's house now takes me an hour, hour and a half. Literally stop and go traffic the entire time. And God forbid someone gets a flat tire on the regular little side roads in a town. Every town is just so overcrowded. And not to mention, it's just like, it should rename this the Long Island Road Rage. They should just call it Road Rage. Where you go? I'm going to Road Rage for the weekend.
So what you're saying is, not to cut off your
I won't go. I just because I was in Long Island on Monday.
That's not all travel is equal, is what you're saying. It's like some. No. Yeah. Like,
yeah, not, I'll drive to Pennsylvania for Double H Boots because I know it's going to be fun, and I'm driving to Pennsylvania and it's country versus going to Long Island, which is 2 hours away. If they had that convention there, I'd be like, I'll see you guys on Zoom. So,
well, yeah. I think like. You know, when we were talking about this before we started recording, for me, as I've gotten older, I've started thinking about the things that I choose to say yes to, and whether they're business things, personal things, whatever.
Yeah, this applies to everything, not just finance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I started thinking about that. It's like everything is a trade-off. Uh-huh. Everything. So you said time is the thing you can't get back. Absolutely true. Time is the thing that you have a finite amount of. Time is the thing that is more valuable to every person than anything else that they can think of. Most people just don't look at it that way. But it's the absolute truth. Like you are here for a limited amount of time. You are capable of being physical for a limited amount of time. You are capable of thinking clearly and effectively for a limited amount of time. And so you're trading that time for something. You're trading it for money. You're trading it for enjoyment. You're trading it for service. You're trading it for whatever. And so the way I've started looking at over the last few years, how, you know, in my 24 hours, I have to sleep an unnecessary amount of that. It's like so frustrating to me, even though I love sleeping. It's frustrating to me that we have to spend so much of that time sleeping. And so what's left, what do I want to trade that for? And a lot of it, obviously, we have to trade a lot of that for money to survive, to pay for people, to pay for the life that you want to have the rest of the time. So that's a big trade-off there. But then the other stuff is like, do I want to trade my time for something that doesn't give me anything back? I was thinking about this morning, actually, not as clearly as this, but I was sitting there scrolling on my phone going like, I have another 30, 40 minutes before we start recording. Do I want to waste that 30, 40 minutes sitting here scrolling, or do I want to go find something useful to do for 30 or 40 minutes? And so, like, I'm looking at all these little moments of trade-off. And at the end of the day, am I going to feel good about what I traded that time for? Did I trade it so I could do something with my kids or invest in my own health?
Scrolling is a big time thief these days. You have to really be careful.
It's crazy. And it can be, you know, scrolling can take a lot of different forms. I mean, it's just wasteful. It's a wasteful trade-off. So I'm trying really hard to not be wasteful in my time and the things that I choose to do. We don't travel to many events anymore. Jenny and I used to go to, you know, all the Maker Faires and the Maker Central and all this stuff because it was a chance for us to be able to go together. And so even if the event itself didn't bring in any money or didn't, you know, really push the business along, it was a chance for the two of us to go somewhere by ourselves and have an experience that's for us. Mm-hmm. And when you have kids, that is a really healthy, necessary thing to make priority. And now our kids are older, and so the need to disappear together for a little while is not as great because we have a little bit more time together. And so then now the trade-off is like, do we actually want to travel to those places, or can we just prioritize the trade-off of time together here?
Right.
And then be able to do more things and save money because we're not traveling to England or whatever. And it's kind of weird how those trade-offs have changed over time, but I mean, I've found that not traveling now has actually been way more beneficial than traveling. You know, in general, in work-related things. As we now travel a little bit more with the family, going camping and hiking and stuff like that, like that is a huge trade-off as a positive. Like that has been a very good thing for us as a squad of people, as a unit. Not just like parents and kids who have to go somewhere together, but the six of us actually becoming better friends and getting to know each other better and investing in each other, being able to go intentionally to the woods or to this fun thing, the six of us, like that is worth way more than that same amount of time doing work or doing whatever, you know.
I also feel like I'm not bored enough. And as we all know that ideas come in weird random times. You wake up, you have this breakthrough idea. You're trying to go to sleep, you have the idea. You have it in the shower. But it's those ideas usually come when you're not doing anything. And if you're constantly scrolling on your phone or constantly doing work or doing something all the time, you're not leaving room for those ideas to just pop up out of nowhere. And I am totally guilty of this. I'm trying to use my phone less. Every once in a while I delete social media apps, and then I'm like, well, I I need Facebook on my phone to communicate with so-and-so. And so it gets back on there. Now it's off. It'll probably be back on there in a couple weeks. I don't have TikTok on my phone anymore because that is just stupid addictive. And I just, I know that I am addicted to the phone. I am addicted to social media. I'm probably addicted to YouTube because that's all I ever watch. And I just need to just dial it back a little bit and be okay with being bored.
Mm-hmm. I remember as a kid, I was pretty busy as a kid. And I was the youngest, so my older siblings were in school. I was at home by myself, you know, with my mom. And I remember on more than one occasion, but one specifically, I was just like pacing the house and just like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do today? What are we going to do today? And my mom just like set me down, hands on my shoulders, and said, it's okay for you to be bored.
Yeah.
And then just like turned around and walked off. Like she didn't explain it. She didn't like, she wasn't mad about it. And I remember that, and she's brought that up many times since then. Like, it is a good thing to be idle. Not all the time, but you're right. It gives you opportunity. It gives you margin, just like having free time in your life gives you margin for rest and relaxation and hobbies. Being bored gives your brain margin to go places it wouldn't be able to go otherwise. I think, like, one of the reasons I like running, no, I don't like running. One of the reasons I run is because it forces idle brain time. And, you know, I can't do anything else. I end up listening to podcasts or audiobooks usually, but occasionally I'll forget to charge my headphones or something like that. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm just going quiet today. And that's always a harder run because I have to think about what I'm doing a little bit more, but it also makes me way more aware. I pay attention to what's around me more. I, you know, notice places that I pass daily that I've never really paid attention to and all sorts of stuff like that. And it's just not being occupied.
Yeah.
You know,
my 30-minute walk every morning is no headphones.
Mm.
And then
you're crazy. That's crazy.
And then after my 30-minute walk is 10 to 15 minutes of meditation. Sometimes, and it's not complicated medication. Meditation. Sometimes it's just sitting there and just thinking or trying not to think for 10 minutes. And I need that. It's how I start my day every day. I need that to set the tone. And I also just need it to have that margin that you're talking about.
Yeah. Jimmy, I know David is the type of person to have to set up habits like that and have those kind of like plan of this is how I want to start my day. Do you have stuff like that, Jimmy? I feel like you're like a cowboy who's just by the seat of your pants all the time. Just like, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna go buy a car today. I don't know.
I started with this whole whirlwind kind of starting with the beginning of Maker Camp with all of October and a little bit of the end of September and October. I just kind of lost track of everything as far as my exercise and stuff. But now after this trip, I've exercised twice this week on the bike. I'm getting back on the bike. My profile is public, so if anybody's on Peloton, you could see exactly when I'm on the bike, so I got to be careful. Not, I can't lie and say, like, yeah, I'm on the Peloton when I'm actually not, because people are like, he's lying. I told you when I first got my Peloton, everyone's like, oh, I'm on Peloton. And, like, I find all these profiles. Not that it even matters, because it's not a social site. I don't even care to follow anybody, but they said, follow me. So I followed my close friends. I'm like, they're telling me how to ride a bike. I go, you haven't been on the Peloton in 18 months. You're telling me, like, you were on it last minute, 10 minutes ago. Anyway, so now I'm getting back on the Peloton, so I'm excited about that. But I do a long walk out here in the neighborhood. Now that it's getting a little bit colder out, I probably won't do it as much, but I still do every once in a while. At the end of the day, I just go for a 1 mile walk down to the end. Like, kind of usually I'll go that way or that way, about a mile and back. So it's a 2 mile walk. And that is just like you said, Dave, I'm usually listening to something, but a podcast that has nothing to do with anything. I'm not trying to listen to news. It's usually just some fun, usually comedy. But I guess my check-in with myself is usually the bike ride. And now I'm back to that. Bike ride is my check-in. And I do that at night, sometime between 10 and 11 o'clock. I am angling to try and flip that so it's a morning thing. I'm always a little bit more successful with my exercise in the morning. But for the last 2 years, I do it at night just because it's at the end of the day. Because I usually just crash and burn. Even though I do the bike at night, I still stay up for 2-3 more hours editing and doing something. And now that I live alone, I have a lot of free time to tinker and do stuff. I do spend a lot of time with Rachel. I was at her house last night, got here this morning. So I'm not alone all the time, but I'm alone a lot more of the time than I was in the previous 10 years. And I do take advantage of that alone time by tinkering or playing around with the edits or just hanging out. I've said this before. I just hang out with the cats and just play with the cats. And you know, that's in a way the meditation. I'll just go sit. I'll just go in the backyard and just sit on the ground and all the turkeys come around me. And they just crowd me and they all sit down around me. And I'm like king of the turkeys.
That sounds lovely. It does.
It's fun. Yeah. It really is fun. Now more than ever, obviously because the availability is now here, I sit in my leather shop. And that is, so I'll work all day long on what I have to. Then I go in the leather shop and tinker. And that is so meditative for me.
Mm.
I couldn't wait to get back there. It was one of the first things I did when I got back from this trip was I went up in the leather shop and I have my projects that I have done. I started moving them all along. And it's great because even just last night sitting at dinner with Rachel, I sketched a couple of ideas I want to play with. And none of that is pressing. There's no hard out. There's no hard reason. There's nothing. It's just me wanting to play and just explore concepts. And I told you guys last week, I started playing with pottery again. So for me, my real meditative time is tinkering. In the day, it's kind of cowboy style. It's like, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. Oh, I got to go pay the taxes. I got to do that. And I do keep a list. And I just check off my list and do the things I need to do. But I do feel like I don't have a rudder like I did for the previous 10 years of my life. And I like that, not having a rudder. It's a little directionless. I'm like a dolly with four swivel wheels versus a dolly that has two swivel wheels and two fixed wheels.
That's funny.
You know those type of dollies?
Yeah.
Now I'm just four swivel wheels, and I actually like it a lot because I'm not getting into any trouble. It's all just work related. You know, I don't drink or do drugs or anything crazy like that. I don't spend money frivolously. I mean, at least I don't think so. It's all work related.
Yeah, it's work related.
To some extent.
It can still be frivolous, but that's fine. Yeah,
you,
I mean.
You know, you guys are going to laugh. You know what? I keep looking for a Cadillac, and I'll find one. It's just a matter of logistics, really, more than anything. I'll find a cool one. I want to find, as an homage to Marfa, Texas, I want to find a Cadillac and stick it in my field, nose down. I want to just dig a hole with the backhoe and just stick it in the ground. So everybody in town will be like, oh, that's the house that has the Cadillac buried in the field sticking out of the ground. So it'll be like an homage in making like East Durham, like Marfa, Texas, like a location for artists. So that's something I want to do this year. So let's talk about spending frivolous money.
Yeah.
I'm going to bury a Cadillac in the ground so that it raises my property value.
I don't know if that'll work exactly like you think it's going to work, but, you know, it's worth a shot.
It's an experiment.
So back to just the, you know, is it worth it kind of thing. As you get older, obviously the work that you do still is a part of your life because it pays for your life, even if your life, your daily life is less work focused. You know, you want to travel, you want to play golf, I don't know, whatever. You want to do a thing, but you still have to work to make that thing possible. Are you all at the point yet where you're feeling, excuse me, you're feeling the, how am I asking this? The trade-off of, or like the impulse to work less, work only enough to, are you still like hungry for the work? Mm. Or are you only working, you know, it's like enough to do the thing? Like, are you starting to slow down? Are you settling down at all? And that sounds like a bad thing, and I don't think it's a bad thing. Right. I'm intentionally settling down. But are you all there yet?
No, I'm still looking for money. You know, I'm still searching. I still need to earn money. So I'm looking for, actually, really what the eternal search is, the least amount of time you could spend on a project to make the most amount of money. I'm still trying to figure that out. Or have something that makes money for you in the way of royalties. Obviously, that's you know, what we make with Google AdSense and some other stuff. That still works. And Vue Media, which is the Facebook ads, you know, the Facebook videos. So that type of stuff where you can make money doing as little as possible physically, it's doing the things you want to do. Imagine if you made all the money you can by everything we did. Let's say you make, $1 million a year based on our library of content that we made. You could just spend all your time with your family and friends and just enjoy life, or tinker, or become the artist that doesn't pay, but you do it because of more, it's more of a soul satisfying thing. That's the goal. And I'm not there yet. And I don't mean to do nothing. I mean to do something that doesn't, you don't have to answer to anybody.
Right. I think that's what I was going to say is, like, I think even in that scenario, at least the three of us, I assume, would not stop working.
No,
we would just be able to work without the pressure of it having to matter.
Before something or somebody else.
Yeah, because, I mean, I could see, and we've probably talked about this before, but if that were the case, if, like, all of a sudden we were, like, signed a paper and it said, okay, here's your royalty check for the rest of your life. Every year you're going to get this amount and you don't have to create income anymore. You know, what does that look like? Because this is a good exercise to figure out what you actually want to do with your time.
Mm-hmm.
If that scenario showed up, you sign that paper, now you can spend your time the way you want to spend it. What does that actually look like for you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that you have to answer that right now, but it's an interesting thing to think about, because that really tells you your ideal situation, your ideal way to spend your time. And if you can figure that out, it's one step closer to being able to, like, reverse engineer that scenario. If I really, really wanted to spend all of my time playing music, working on cars, being outside, hiking, if that was it, what could I do for work that would make those things possible? And obviously, putting the constraint of work on something you like is always going to make it a little bit more complicated. But, you know, I think that's a good exercise to do. And I know for me, it would be, I would be outside a lot more. I would be climbing and hiking and biking and enjoying nature, and I would be spending time on music without the pressure of it being good.
Mm.
And I would be working on cars without the pressure of telling anybody about it. You know, I would, like, learn that stuff because I want to know how to do it and I want to make cars better.
I think I need a little bit of pressure. I think I need to have a purpose. I need, and there needs to be work that has to be done. I feel like,
but does that have to equate to the money side of, like, the business side of it? Or is there work that you feel has to be done because the work has to be done?
I don't know. Going back to your previous question, I still have the drive because I still think the best work is ahead of me. And I still like making videos. I still like making things. And I like sharing that. I also like being able to pay bills and not having to worry like I used to. And I think that is what drives me, is that I have to do these things. I wish there wasn't as much pressure. I wish I was a little bit more free. I wish there was more time to make each video. And if I did have all the money, what would I do with my time? I would still make videos and things out of wood, just not at the same pace.
Yeah.
I feel like I would be more creative, but I know myself better than that, because I know creativity comes out of just doing it and the pressure of doing it and being forced to make a decision. Not having that pressure and not having parameters is too open for me. And it would just cause me to be paralyzed and not do anything.
Hmm. It's really interesting how different people look at the same scenario. For me, I think the thing that is most frustrating about having to work for money is that there's all this stuff that I can't that I want to do because I want to do it, but I can't figure out how to justify it because it doesn't make money. And so I think if the money were there, then I would have no roadblock from me spending time on this thing and like seeing it through. But right now I have all these different potentials that I would love to try, but I just like can't justify the risk or
the time.
You know, yeah, the time that it would take to do that. And there's certain things that I will absolutely justify no money, you know, the quote loss of the stuff around it to have it done. Spending time with people. You don't make money by spending time with your friends and family and getting to know people and investing in other people, but it's way more worth it than the money in that amount of time. Not everything's like that. But I know that there are a lot of things in my life that I will never do simply because I can't justify them financially. That kind of sucks. Like, and I don't know a way around it. There's no solve there, but I would love for me and for everybody else to be able to, like, how do you prioritize that stuff? That stuff that you actually want to happen, you know? I don't know. I don't know how to do that.
Well, sometimes if you look at the stuff and say it's an education, I say that all the time, everything's an experiment, everything's an education, then it doesn't quite feel like a waste of time.
I don't think things are a waste of time. Being justifiable is different than it being a waste of time, you know?
Right. If it wasn't justified, then what is it?
Well, so like, for instance, we were talking last week about the Fusion plugin thing that we were working on, have been working on for a long time. The investment, the time investment, the financial investment to get that thing going, to make that thing what it needs to be for other people to use it, is huge. It is a very large endeavor, an investment that may not pay for itself. And so I could look at that as I'm going to invest my time and my money into make that thing, and I may never make that money back, but it would serve other people. That's fine. But I also have to balance that against, and this is the whole trade-off thing, right? This is, I have to balance that against, I have 4 kids who I pay for now and are all going to be heading to college in the next few years. And so, you know, my financials are not becoming more free over the next few years. And so, like, I can invest all this stuff in a thing that will serve other people and I won't potentially get anything back for it. Or I can invest my time in stuff that I know is going to enable me to pay, help my kids, like, start their lives as adults. And so, like, you know, it's justification there. It's not that it's not good, but I don't know. Those are the trade-offs that we have to make constantly.
Then you got to remind yourself, in this tech world, you could spend 3 years working on something that you don't get paid a dime for, and then you sell it for $1 million.
Yeah.
So there's that weird.
Yeah, contemplation. Yeah, a weird potential. Yeah,
there's that contemplation. It's like, am I going to? It's always when you get more into the entrepreneurial aspect of what we do, and what mostly everybody wants to do is, you put your time and energy. For instance, you know, a more tangible example is me putting all my time and energy into the Graveyard House. Time, energy, physical, money, blah 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 blah. The house could be worth $500,000, maybe $1 million by the time I'm done, which is multiple times more than what I put into it financially. The time itself for me is exciting. I get to make videos and I actually enjoy it. But same thing with like software. You're not making any money while you're developing it, but you could potentially have an upside. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess if you know you could play with something like real estate, for instance, you know you could play with real estate. It's always going to have a payoff if you need to. If you need to cash out.
Yeah.
If you need to. As long as you hang in there long enough, you could at least break even.
To record this show every Wednesday morning, we have to trade off getting real work done. What is the payoff for you guys?
I think for me, the payoff is being able to think out loud about stuff like this.
It's contemplative.
Yeah.
Yeah. With people who are going through the same stuff in a different way. we all, the three of us, have different life experience. We've intersected in this place and in our jobs and our friendship, and we've come at it from different ways, and we are going in different directions, you know, long term. And so the fact that I can think about this stuff and hear your all's different responses to that same stuff as a way to bounce off, you know, what I think and what I'm feeling about it on a weekly basis for 10 years, that's what keeps me doing it. That's what justifies it this time for me.
Yeah. Yeah, the it's just the open conversation that I don't get to have otherwise. You know, I can talk to Kelly about making stuff, but she doesn't come from the same background. So, you know, she's just like, oh, that's cool. But you guys, we can go a little bit deeper.
So is there stuff like... that you're I know we've all run across things that we have not, you know, it's not worth it. Things that we have just, are there things on the horizon, potentials that you are really like struggling with? I'm not sure if this is going to be the right, like, this is cool, but maybe not something I should commit to. Are you faced with anything like that right now or in the near future? Or are you pretty settled into, I know what I'm going to take on and what I'm not?
Can I...
David's smiling.
I'm smiling because I just got an email. I shouldn't be multitasking. I shouldn't have my email up. But opportunities come in email. And an opportunity just came up that is very profitable. And I totally missed what you asked because I got distracted by this. I'm like, okay, that's a good amount of money. But what is it going to take for me to do that? It's so, the timing.
It's exactly
of it is
in the moment.
Yeah, yeah, exactly in the moment. So, can you repeat the question, Bob?
Is a good answer coming?
In the past, we've all gotten like offers for things, or had potential business opportunities, or whatever that are like, yeah, that's not worthwhile. I'm not going to do that. Some stuff is a little bit harder to, you know, try to figure out whether it's worthwhile. Are you confronted with anything right now or in the near future where you're just like, I don't, like a new business or a new venture or a new, that, man, like, I don't know if I should buy that tractor, Jimmy. Right. I don't know if I should buy that other house or that, you know, that kind of a thing.
I
think there's always something. Yeah, there's always something.
So we have the rental house that's not done. It's getting much closer. There's a very good chance that a long-term sponsor is not going to renew for next year. That's going to be a huge chunk of money that I'm not going to have. That means I need to either sell that house or I need to get that house done so it is making money. And if it does, is it going to help fill that gap? Am I going to have to hustle a little bit more as far as my videos? Am I going to have to come up with a problem? I'm trying to figure out how to fill that gap. And part of me wants that sponsor to renew again because it's going to make my life easier. A part of me also hopes that sponsor doesn't renew so it lights that fire under me so I can come up with that next opportunity. The best opportunities are the ones that I make for myself. Because those are the ones that feel the most rewarding. You know, a sponsorship opportunity can come via email. And, you know, that's a very short-term thing. But the things that we come up with, and it's... I have no intention of making a product. But that might change. I might get excited about something. And... if that does happen, I know that I will be all in, and that's going to fulfill that need in me for a long time, and it will likely pay off because usually when I spend a lot of time on something, it works.
I'm contemplating going to Europe.
Like Maker
Central. No, that too. No, but going to Maker Central. So I'm contemplating that. I started talking with Nick. I didn't go last year because it's not worth my time.
Yeah.
And I told Nick that, and now we're negotiating a fee. And frankly, I went for free the last since it started. I went for free, and I just can't afford to go anymore because it's a huge mental and physical trip to go to Europe. Usually there's a stop somewhere on the way there because it's not a direct city. And I don't love going to Europe. I just did it for Lagosol. And that was a great trip. I had a really nice time. Rachel accompanied me. We had a lot of fun. But in general, just getting on a plane and going to Europe is so mentally taxing. Hmm. So I'm contemplating that. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like spilling. I asked this question and I actually
didn't right.
answer it.
Here
I'm
you
on.
Are.
Yeah. Out with it.
I have several things like that. I have multiple businesses, unrelated businesses that I would like to start. And, you know, you never know if any of those are going to, if you can afford to start them, if you have to take on money and what is the trade-off of that to get the thing started? Is the thing going to even pay off, whether you paid for it or somebody else paid for it? Is it going to survive or is it just going to distract you from, you know? And then we've got like the software thing. We have other products that I've always like kind of tinkered with and never really seen through. I have tons of that stuff just constantly. And I think part of the reason that the whole like, you know, royalty question was interesting to me is because that would be an amazingly ideal situation to not have to struggle with these new ideas versus paying for things on a regular basis for just a little while, enough to try to see some of these ideas through. Are you waving to someone?
My cat is in the window. I'm trying to tell him to go to the open window.
It looked like you were like, come on in.
I am. My cat is right here in the windowsill. He sees me and he's meowing. You can't hear it. And I'm like, go to that window. It's open. You can walk in the room. He's an idiot.
You have an open window right now?
Mm-hmm. In the kitchen.
Well, anyway, any other thoughts on this? Making things worth it? Choosing?
I can tell by our answers and the length that it takes to answer these questions that we still have more thoughts and we haven't thought about it enough.
Absolutely.
No, it's just, the bottom line is it's always a balance.
It's always, yes.
It's always a balance. Can I do that? Somebody will offer me $20,000 to make something. I'm like, that's a lot of money.
Right.
Can I do it? I'm like, if I only need 10 days to do that, I could probably do that in 10 days. It's always because I'm always offered these liquid things. And I was offered to make two more Johnny Walker carts. And it's more than $20,000. And I'm like, yes. Hmm. I will put everything on hold for that amount of money because, yeah. I think to myself, I'll just stay up late later. I'll sleep 4 hours a night instead of 5 hours.
Sleep next week.
Yeah.
But those add up. And you take that one ends. And then you take another one. And then you end up dead or unhealthy because you're not taking care of yourself.
Hmm.
No. Well, I now that I'm back on the bike, I'm taking care of myself.
Okay.
At least for the last 2 days.
Well, I think that's another good point. And I was talking to my kids about this yesterday. Like we are not told this by many people, I don't think, but you are allowed to change your mind about anything.
Mm-hmm.
You are allowed to feel like you need to hustle and work and take on all the things and stay up late this week. And next week you are allowed to go, you know what? That was then. Now I'm going to take time off, or now I'm going to prioritize rest, or now I'm going to, you know, trade off my time in a different way. And like, that's fine. Like from a business perspective, we get this like, oh, you're going to be an entrepreneur. That means you have decided to completely throw away your personal life in the, you know, in the pursuit of this thing. And now you are that thing forever. That's just not, I don't know, nothing is forever.
Social media has helped with that in a way of like, I said this thing. Now that's on the internet forever. Well, I can't change my mind because I said this thing and people read it. And now, you know, I think it's harder to change your mind now or change your stance or to be convinced.
Which I think is a good reason not to always be so definitive about everything online, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to tell everybody what you think about every little thing because of that reason.
Oh, you don't.
One of the many reasons.
Oh.
Yeah. No, you don't. It's not required
okay.
to be on Facebook to say everything you think about everything on Facebook. It's not in the terms of service at all.
Huh. Yeah.
Anyway.
I stay in my lane of making stuff. Talking about the world of making stuff.
All right. Well, I actually have multiple things to recommend this week. So
we're still doing that.
Supporters. Yeah, we are still doing that. You don't have to. I've got two. So
cool.
Big thanks to our Patreon supporters who just support the show, who give us time to make the trade-off for this time easier. The patrons do that. They make it so that we don't have to justify this time to ourselves. We just get together and hang out and talk. And it feels supported. So big thanks to everybody over at Patreon, especially the top supporters. They go above and beyond. They pay more than they need to, but we are grateful for the support from Matthias Garnow, Michael Menegin, Warren Works, Jeff at the New Janky Workshop, Scott at Dad-It-Yourself DIY, Sean Beckner, Odin Leather Goods, Rich at Low End Design, Chad's Custom Creations, Chad from Mancrafting, Works by Solo, Albert's Woodworks, Corey Ward, and Nick Ryan. But also, people like a new patron, Jamie Gosney from Buzzsaw Creations. Jamie's new this week.
Thank you.
In the last couple weeks. And very grateful for all the support. And all of those people and everybody else that supports at any level on Patreon gets the after show,
mm-hmm.
which we're going to record right after this one. Mm-hmm. Little update on the whole Patreon price change thing. Remember I was talking about that?
Yeah, a little bit? I still don't understand what happened. I got the email that says everything's changed now.
Yeah, it changed.
You're never
like,
we did,
I didn't hit the button. It just changed. They were like, it was on a deadline, and so they updated it. Didn't really have a choice. But good news is they finally did a better job of explaining what the deal was, and everybody who already was a patron, nothing changes for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, no sweat. People who are becoming patrons in the future, nothing really changes unless you're using... If you become a patron through the iOS app, that is the mm-hmm. situation where something changes, I think. And you won't even notice that it changes because you weren't already a patron. So it's not really that big of a deal. They made it seem like a big deal. Anyway, it's done. We don't have to talk about it anymore. But if you want to join Patreon... And support the show. You can go to patreon.com/makingit and join up at any level. We would be very grateful. Do you guys have something to recommend?
I do.
Okay.
And I got to find it in my history.
You've had all this time.
I know. I did. I put it at the top of my history. Here it is. I'll read it specifically. It's called Bo Burnham's Final Warning Before He Disappeared. And you guys follow, this is a channel called Patrick CC. And I'll send you guys this email. And he does deep dives on celebrities and people in social media. And Bo Burnham is a genius comedian. And I never really knew his origin story. In this video, he goes through his origin story. And it's pretty incredible. And Bo Burnham says something really funny. This shows a lot of his interviews. It's a positive thing about him. It's not bashing him in any way. He's an amazing genius comedian. Bo Burnham says at one point he goes, I'm a YouTube star on YouTube that made 8 videos in the last 10 years. He goes, now you have to make a video every week to be a so-called YouTube star. Hmm. Just talking about how in the beginning it was just so free and easy, and it was just like, hey, you feel like making a video, make a video. Now it's a career choice, and talking about how. It's funny, if you don't follow Bo Burnham, his comedy, he talks about how the fun is literally wrung out of everything until it's not fun anymore. He talks about all different aspects of entertainment and life. I don't know what he's up to now. All of his social media is just blank.
Hmm.
But anyway.
He's probably enjoying himself.
That's what I was going to say. He's probably having fun. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah. David, what you got?
Mine is Kevin Lieber from Vsauce 2 is the host of the Popular Science YouTube channel. And he's got a video called How to Make a YouTube Video in 1987. And this video is great. But all of the videos that he hosts for Popular Science are fantastic. Well researched, amazingly done. What they do is he takes an old popular science article, some tech from the 80s, 90s, maybe even earlier, and then tries to use that tech. So there's a lot of eBay purchasing and repurchasing because a lot of this old tech doesn't work. It's such an amazing series, and he's such a great host.
Cool. Yeah, he is good. Right on. I'll check that out. I have two. One we've talked about before, Bo Miles, the YouTube guy from Australia who just, he's like a runner and thoughtful guy and funny and everything. He put out a video yesterday or the day before. He was on a run in the outback, and he's like he runs like super long distance kind of run. Anyway, he's running and he came across this pile of trash that somebody just dumped, and he ended up cleaning it up and building a picnic table out of the trash that was left there, and then he left the picnic table like there for people to enjoy as they run by. And it's just it's cool. It's like 6 minutes, and I like the way he talks and thinks about things. He's cool. So that's one. The other one is a band I ran into, which I don't know if anybody will be into this or not, but they're like an instrumental rock. It's not rock. It's like atmospheric guitar. I don't know. Instrumental. And I think it's called, I think you say it foreign. It's F-O-R-E-N-N, but I assume it's pronounced foreign.
Light jazz.
Not jazz.
Light jazz.
It's not light jazz. Yaz flute. It's all jazz flute. Now, it's, I don't know. The album that they have is from 2015, but there's a new one coming out this month, luckily enough. So I just ran across them. It's cool. I like it. Go check it out. Or don't.
Spell it again.
No skin. F-O-R-E-N-N.
Okay.
And I think it's like three or four guys. Just, you know. So that's what I got. You guys got anything else for this week?
No.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
All right. This is worth it, though.
Oh, yeah. Bye.